Do we have any news? I have not even checked on the interwebs.
Well, we can
look real quick. Yeah. Oh yeah, we're
Jeff.
Yo.
Kaizo's pawing at something behind the stove.
Nah, that's fine. Let her do it.
Okay.
If she pulls out like a dragon or something, then I'll be worried.
Pulls out a dragon. Hey, look what I found.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, it's right here. Oh, my God.
All of a sudden, Crystal and I are moving to Toronto. Hey, Crystal, Toronto has dragons.
It's dragons. Sweet up.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 196.
Hi.
My name is Christopher Kio, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up?
And for the third week in a row, Travis is not joining us.
No, he's watching football games.
Yes, he is watching his Saints
balls.
Lose. They are currently losing 21-10 to the Green Bay Packers.
What quarter?
It is the second quarter with 9 minutes left.
Lots of time.
Joining us in his place is Mr. Joseph Fate. Otherwise known as Aces. I'm just going to call him Aces.
Yeah, that works. What's up?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. I'm up here in Toronto.
I know. What's up, man? Tell me what you guys have been up to lately.
In my closet.
Oh, man. I am in a closet. And it's a pretty small closet. No. Today was my first day flying. I decided to, what better way to spend it than to visit Jeff.
Yay.
Someone else who is afraid to fly.
And then, Aces isn't. It was just Aces' first time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I handled that pretty well. Jeff's just a big girl, and he sucks at driving.
He admits that, though.
Where are you sleeping? You went in. There's a good spot right on the balcony. It's awesome.
It doesn't get cold out there at night. Don't worry.
Yeah. Then you spend another, 4 hours in a car?
Yeah. That was awful.
So you flew into Buffalo then?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. That's the smart thing to do.
It is. And normally that would be like at the most a 2.5 hour drive from Toronto at most. That's like with traffic and everything. But on the way there, crazy traffic in Toronto, a little bit of traffic going over the border, and my GPS. I can't blame it on my GPS. I just suck at following the GPS sometimes, and I got lost twice in Buffalo with a GPS. So that was fun. But it worked out okay because Ace's second flight was delayed by about like 45 minutes or so. So it ended up being like pretty much just on time for both of us. But on the way home, it picked a different route on my GPS to go home. And I was like, this doesn't look right. It looks like it's taking us way out to like bumfuck nowhere and then over the border. So we had to we went like off course for a bit and had to backtrack. And yeah, it was a lot longer in a car than we expected. But
that sounds like fun.
And then Aces had to have experiences first going over the border.
Oh, dude, no, that dude scared the shit out of me.
Did you get a pat down? Cavity search?
Remember how last time when I
said... Did you break out the rubber gloves?
No, but he probably thought he was going to. Remember when I talked about when we were going to MGC, how me and Tony got pulled over and had to go through all that kind of garbage?
Right.
So, of course, he's like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be easy. It won't be a problem. And it wasn't actually that bad going into Canada because he doesn't care. Like, they don't care. They have to let me in. I'm a Canadian citizen. So no matter what, they have to let me in, whatever. So he asked me a couple questions, whatever. And then, I'll let Aces tell the rest because...
He asked the basis questions. He asked, who's Jeff? Well, what citizenship is he? And then he looks at me. He's like, who's this guy? And Jeff's like, this is my friend. And I was like, I'm Joseph. And he's like, what citizenship are you? I'm like, I'm from Florida, U.S. Because the guy is speaking with an insanely firm tone of voice.
Yeah,
he's commanding respect out of every orifice, and it's all I can do is just to give it to him as I cower in my girl pants.
And it was funny because Aces like confidence went from like as we're waiting to go across the border was like, oh no, everything will be fine, nothing will happen. To he's asking me all the questions, goes, who's that guy? And then I'm like, my friend. And then when he's like, where are you from? Aces is like, Florida, USA. like you can sense the nervousness in his voice, and it was so funny. And then we just pulled away, and his Aces was just like I think that guy wanted to punch me in the face. I thought he was going to come over and punch his fist through the window.
No, don't take that personally, because I think that they require that you're a dickhead to everybody that crosses the border.
I'm pretty sure, especially when you're going into the opposite border. Like, yeah. I usually don't get a problem going to Canada, but going to the States, yeah, issues. But the opposite,
yeah, because, well, if you're not going to be a dick to everyone, then people are just going to try and run over you, so...
Yeah, pretty much. But that was about it, though. It wasn't, like, too crazy or nothing.
Yeah, he honestly asked me about 5 questions and just let me through. No big deal.
Yep.
Cool.
Good times.
All right, well, what have you guys done so far?
Fucking nothing. We got here at,
you guys just got in, pretty much?
We got in, picked up Tiny from work, and then just went to the beer store, of course, and then got some food, and then came back and played some Street Fighters, and then now we're recording.
Cool. And so, tomorrow is your little Toronto meetup, right?
Tomorrow is the Retroist Toronto meetup. There's going to be, well, not a lot of us, probably around 10, maybe.
That's cool, man. That's a good amount. That's a good amount.
I think that's all that is in Canada, is about 10 Retroist members.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is Crayman meeting up with you guys?
No, I should actually. You know what? I am going to let him know, because if he doesn't check Retroist, because he is about an hour drive from here, maybe. Yeah, maybe an hour drive. So, but I don't think he drives, though. I'm not too sure.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember if he does or not.
But yeah, I should definitely throw him a shout-out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And be like, yo, dude. But yeah, it should be fun. We're all meeting up or at a cool kind of bar / restaurant / gaming. Like, I know some of them have, like, video game type stuff. And it's called Jack Astor's in Toronto. It's a pretty cool place. But yeah, we're going to be up there and see what happens. Probably get sloppy.
Very cool.
It'll be fun. What have you been up to, man?
Not a whole lot, you know, same old shit, working, playing games as much as I can, and, taking care of my kid. So, okay. Typical week for me.
So, like, how's Liam doing?
Liam is, he's doing pretty good. He's over his cold. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago where all of us had a cold all at the same time. Yeah. So he's past that. You know, just doing pretty good. Crystal's got him doing this, she does this Mother's Morning Out thing now every Thursday, where it's basically like a daycare that's only one day and it's like half a day. It just gives Crystal a chance to go do something other than take care of a kid for like 4 hours a week.
It makes sense.
And apparently today was his second day being there, and apparently it did not go very well. He was pretty fussy and like wouldn't let Crystal leave. He was like crying and holding onto her leg and stuff like that.
That's usually the way it is.
Yeah, poor guy.
I was like that first year of college. It was a mess.
You didn't want your mom to leave?
Yeah. Like, no!
Cool. Well, let's get... let's talk about what we're going to be doing on the show today. We're talking about sleeper hits of 2011 later today during the feature. Before that, we're going to do some distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before that, let's talk a little bit more about Indus Fest, which is... I think we're are
literally,
we at that
literally
official...
Literally a month away from
a
this
month
weekend.
Away. It is a month away. You guys... I hope you've booked all your travel plans. I'm going to start sending out the PM pretty soon, the notorious PM that goes to all the people that, you know, said they were coming. So we can get all your contact information and stuff.
Other announcement?
Which other announcement is that?
The
one that we're still working on?
Well, yeah, but it should be fine at the end of this recording.
Yeah, it's pretty much official. Jack Bauer is coming to Indus Fest.
Yeah.
I purchased the plane tickets already. So, awesome. You guys came through big time. We got to about 90%, 92% of our goal as of today. Mm-hmm. You know, my original plan was if we get to 50% from just outside donations, then I will purchase tickets because we want to make sure we get a good price. I saw a good price. I went ahead and got it. And, you know, it looks like it's going to get covered. So you guys are awesome. Thank you very much. Jack Bauer will be joining us for Indus Fest. He's already got his passport and his visa in line. Yeah. And we are extremely excited.
I can't wait to meet that guy.
I can't either. I can't wait. So that's going to be our announcement.
We're going to force him to eat a peanut butter sandwich.
Yes, he's going to have peanut butter and jelly, and he's actually going to be on the live episode of Indus Thursday. So,
hell yeah.
It's going to happen. we also just posted a a new thread on Retroids looking for trivia questions from you guys. So we're doing a trivia, like a game show trivia contest on Friday. Well, one of the things that we were discussing is that we had this strong feeling that some of our listeners could come up with better trivia questions than we could, because they could probably come up with shit that we didn't even know about our show.
Or about Retroids or gaming in general, because yeah. We're probably just like, let's be honest, if we did gaming trivia, it'd be like, this Street Fighter character was this, and you'd be like, this Castlevania soundtrack was
exactly
featured
in Phantasy yeah. Star 4.
exactly.
there's a thread out on Retroids about what we're looking for, but obviously don't post your questions on Retroids. Either email them to me, chris@interactivedistractions.com, or you can send me a PM on Retroids as well. For more details, go to Retroids on that one as well. Hey, cool. Let's talk about games.
I like games.
Aces, you're up first, man.
Guys, I've been playing a lot of Dead Island.
Dead Island. Tell me about Dead Island.
The first time when it was called Left or Dead. Left 4 Dead. Wow, I fucked up that. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Left 4 it's Dead. Like, move, bitch. Like get out of the way.
It's not like Left 4 Dead at all. But go ahead, Aces.
That game is Borderlands plus melee zombie kills. There's definitely stats and deep RPG stuff behind everything you do.
Yeah, because I didn't know that at first, but I was watching some videos of it the other day, and I saw, you know, chick walks up and hits a dude with a crowbar, and there's like little numbers flash up. I'm like, yep. No shit.
Yeah. Dude, I think, Chris, you'd fucking love it.
It looks like I would love it. This looks like, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like Borderlands is probably my top first person shooter, you know. Mm-hmm. It's my number one first person shooter, and to hear that Dead Island is kind of like that.
Yeah,
I'm interested.
It is. Well, I don't know, like I played a little bit before we jumped on here, because he's like, you have to play this game. So I played it for about maybe half an hour or so before we jumped on here, and it's like I didn't even shoot a gun or nothing in that half an hour. It was mostly like picking up like boat oars and like crowbars and shit like that, and beating the crap out of the zombies. But it was, I had no idea it was like really that open.
Right.
And it was literally one of my buddies jumped on Xbox Live and just joined up in the game, and we just started messing around and stuff, and I was like, wow, this is actually not the type of game I thought it was at all. And like, I honestly thought it was going to be straightforward, linear, like action adventure game with zombies.
Can't you like break arms and like cut off arms and limbs and stuff like that?
Yeah. It depends on which weapon type you're using. So right. if you're using the blunt weapons, you can break their arms and zombies can't attack you with the limbs anymore. Or if you're using a bladed weapon, it just cuts the arm right off.
That is really freaking cool.
Yeah, and it changes the way the zombies behave, because if they have no arm, like it changes their animation cycles too. So if you disable one of their arms, they'll have to flail more with the other arm than they used to, because of because they're off balance with it.
That is awesome. And another thing that sounds really dumb that was actually a lot of fun was when I had the dude. It's only one person, by the way. This is a 4-player co-op, like online. You kick down a zombie, and we both just started kicking it while it was down. And I was like, dude, you add two more people to this, it's like you're just circle kicking somebody. Like you push him down, and all of a sudden everyone just starts like fucking stomping on. I'm like, oh yeah, eat it, eat my boots. And it was just like, I was like, this is awesome. I cannot see this getting boring ever. It was pretty cool, and it looks really good, dude. It's a
really
good looking game. Yeah,
I need to look at. I'm gonna check it out on Steam.
Like it looks like it's running on like a Far Cry engine, even though like it's not. But it looks like a better looking version of like Far Cry 3. It's like, I'd say I was telling Aces, like, it looks very like close to, I'd say on par with like Crysis 2 in certain aspects. Like it's got a lot more texture popping and stuff, but it looks really good. It's the lighting is fantastic.
One thing that Jeff didn't get to see is that while you're in the certain area, so there's more than one area, that island that you're on, that's like one of three or four different zones you go to. While the island is loaded, if you fast travel to somewhere, there is absolutely no loading times at all. The screen pops the black for less than a second, and you're snap, you're into wherever you fast traveled. It's really awesome.
That is pretty cool.
From what it seems like the entire game is loaded into memory somehow.
Go ahead.
Because I know the game is really small. Installed onto the 360 hard drive, it's like 4.9 gigs.
Well, I'm just looking at the Steam page, and they have a 4-pack deal, kind of like they did for, with Left 4 Deal.
Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, for Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Deal.
Left 4 Deal. Left 4 Deal.
That's awesome.
kind of like they had for Left 4 Deal. Yeah.
Island of Deal.
Island of
Here
Deal.
You go. Deal of Dead.
Deal Nation.
That makes sense. Deal Island.
Deal Island. There you go. So it's $150.
We went through every fucking zombie game right there. We're not getting the one we wanted to.
There's a special Bob Barker zombie on the Steam load up.
What? No.
He's obviously kidding.
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway. But yeah, it's got 4 copies for $150, so
that's
kind of
cool. I don't think I can get it for PC, though, because apparently the PC one is buggy to shit right now.
Yeah, that's true.
And it looks, as far as I know, it looks really good on PS3 and 360, and I mean, it seems to be working fine on both of those, so.
Cool.
Why can't they have that on consoles? Like,
what's
buy
that?
4 copies.
Oh, yeah. Well,
even if it's retail, like, fuck it. Like, well, then again, yeah, I'd be like, I gotta ship one to you, one to whoever.
Yeah, it would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool.
Like,
that's awesome.
I was
awesome.
Gonna ask, like, Ace is like, how is the work like when you're in a game with 4 people? Who controls the quest that you're doing?
Anyone controls the quest. So there's an open pool of quests, and anyone can go do any certain one that they want to at any given time, as long as the quest is open. So like, I could be on a quest in the world, and then you can be on a different quest, and someone can be on a different quest, and the last person can be on, they can be doing whatever they want to. So it's completely open like that.
How does it activate though? Like, say you just all want to do the same quest. Do you all have to go to talk to the same person, or is it like...
No, as soon as anyone talks to the person, everyone has that quest available for them. So you just go to the pause menu and you make that quest your active quest.
Okay, that's cool. I like the way that works. Because that always like kind of confused me in Borderlands, even though it was kind of straightforward. But that kind of... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few problems. Like, anytime you talk to a person for a new quest, that automatically becomes your active quest. That's kind of annoying, especially when you just talk to someone because they have a quest, but you're trying to get to somewhere.
Okay,
you get turned around pretty easily like that. The texture pop-in's pretty bad at places.
Couple seconds. It looks like, back in the Unreal 3 days where it would be like, empty textures, and then boom, they're on there. Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, but besides that, it's the game's a lot of fun. I couldn't see myself playing the single player, that's for sure. So if you have friends for it, I would say go for it.
I could see that, because like Borderlands is the same way with me. I could not play that game single player. So we had like a group of 4 of us that literally, well, 3 of us, 2 to 3 of us were able to actually stick up with it to the very end. But we had like 4 of us that literally started from the beginning. For the most part, one to the end, it was so much fun. But then after that, people kind of, the main group I was playing with kind of stopped playing. So I was, I kind of just basically stopped playing the game. I even got that DLC, the third one that they had. I can't remember what it was called. I haven't even touched it yet.
That was Mad Moxie, I think. Or
after
like
the one after Mad Moxie. It was that guy, General Knox. General Knox. Yeah. Yeah, didn't even touch it.
I still haven't finished Borderlands. That's how behind I am.
You haven't beat Borderlands yet?
Nope. Have not.
Well, you should, and make sure you have friends for that last boss, because it's tough. Well, it's not really, it's just a big bullet sponge, basically.
The vagina monster?
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I was like, I don't want to say vagina this early in the podcast, but I'll wait till the wine hits me, but yeah, the vagina monster. But yeah, I was like, everyone's been telling me get Dead Island, man. It's awesome. Like Captain Harlock, Major People, all these guys are like playing it online, and I'm like, maybe even trying to like set my budget. Like, I really want to buy like maybe one game a month, like maybe one retail, one downloadable game. But this might throw me for a loop here. So
yeah, and this I'm pretty sure that I'm gonna end up getting. I still haven't gotten Space Marine, and I think that's gonna be.
Dude, I'd wait on Space Marine.
Yeah, I kind of want to, but...
That's going to be $30 in a month and a half.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I played the demo of that, and I was like, yeah, it's fun, but I just can't see it... Okay, as good as the game might be, I really can't see it selling, and that's what basically predicts whether or not a game is going to be cheap or not.
Yeah, I know.
And I just can't see it. Yeah, I don't know.
I know.
Nah.
It sucks.
Eco's coming out soon, too, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck me. Damn it. That's true. I have to put money aside for that.
I have to stop myself from looking at fucking release lists, because every time I'm like, okay, I got myself set. September, I'm going to get Gears of War, probably Eco. then it's like October, like Batman, and maybe something else. And then I'm like, good. Then I see a release list, and I'm like, motherfucker, I totally forgot about Battlefield 3 and fucking like, oh man.
Uncharted's coming out.
Uncharted 3 and oh man, I want the drought back. Why can't developers and publishers put out more games in the summer? Like, spread that shit out. Especially from November and December, because November's just, like, Call of Duty is just going to kill November. Like, it's, well, that and Skyrim. Like, nothing else is going to sell in November. Like, I mean, let's be realistic here. Like, if you want either Call of Duty or Skyrim, and you can only afford, like, one or two games in this, like, holiday season, that's what's going to sell, I think. And everything else is just going to be, like, I didn't buy Resistance 3 on the only fact is there's too much stuff coming out, and I want Resistance 3.
Yeah.
But, anyway, Aces, what else are you playing?
that has been it. Tuesday I bought it, and I'm well over 10 hours into it already. Wow. That's the only thing I've touched besides some Street Fighter.
Cool.
How'd that go?
I lost a lot to you.
I blame it on jet lag, and he's been up since like fucking like 3 a.m.
So. Jet lag, you're in the same time zone. That doesn't work.
I know, but I'm just trying to make him feel better, man.
Dude, but whatever. Country lag, whatever.
Country lag.
We like to call it country lame, actually. But, yeah. Yeah, that was speaking
God,
of lame.
Son of a...
What's up, joke? That was lame.
Hey, Jeff, what are you playing, man?
Oh, shit. Some Street Fighter. Lots of it. Of course. Some Third Strike and 4.
Okay.
Arcade Edition. What else have I been playing? I played... Actually, I went to a buddy of mine's house last Sunday, because it was the holiday on Monday. We had a Mortal Kombat tournament.
No, nice.
It was like a Mortal Kombat night, actually. It wasn't necessarily like one tournament. We played a regular singles tournament, then tag team tournament. So, singles tournament, I wasn't too sure on myself because these guys play Mortal Kombat a lot, but they're not too technical into it. And I was like, okay, well, I haven't played in a long time, but I like no technical shit. And I was basically doing really, really well to the finals. But the guy who won, I beat in round one, round in the tournament, went down to loser's bracket. He ended up winning loser's bracket. I won winner's bracket. He came up, beat me, reset the bracket, and then beat me again. He actually won the actual tournament. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, he actually, like, so the first guy I fought, my good friend of mine, Dan, got sent down there, destroyed people in the loser's bracket, then went back up there. And we literally went to, like, the very last, like, round we could have. It was, like, intense. It was, like went to the last round where I could have won it all. Then he won, reset it, did the next 2 out of 3, and went pretty much every round.
It seems to happen to you a lot, Jeff.
The what?
Going to the last round in like tournament matches.
Yeah, seriously. Well, last time was like with you, I think, like years ago, which is pretty intense. That was crazy. But, it was a lot of fun. Then, of course, in the tag team was me and another buddy of mine. We ended up winning that one, the 2-on-2, which is a lot of fun. I never played the tag team match in Mortal Kombat where you actually have like each player controls a character.
I didn't even remember that there was one.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. Like, a lot of fun. I really wish MVC had this, but it would be kind of hard with like 6 characters, but it was pretty cool. You tag each other in, and it would cause a lot of trouble because, of course, at this point when you did this, it was probably around midnight. So everyone's like had a few, and you kind of forget when you get tagged in. There's a lot of like tagging somebody in, but they're in the middle of talking to somebody and they're getting beaten up. I'm like, what the dude? I just tagged you. Oh, God. And like teams are arguing. It was pretty funny. but it was a lot of fun. So Mortal Kombat, played a lot of that.
Cool.
Deus Ex, of course.
Yes.
Still.
How far are you now?
Great game. I'm, without revealing, I'm just about to go to Montreal. So I don't know where that is in the game. It's a little bit past the second boss, but boss doesn't really generate where you are in the game because it's not like they're equally spaced out.
Right, right.
But yeah, man, the bosses in that game are terrible.
I remember you guys talking about the first boss when you said that you had like a bunch of grenades and you just started tossing grenades at him.
Yep. Yeah.
And I unfortunately did not have the ability to do that because I only had one frag grenade on me. So I threw, the first couple of times I tried, I was like, all right, let's do All right, frag grenade. And then I did EMP grenade and got him to stop. And then I was like, all right, I'll pull out the revolver and I'll unload however many shots I can in his head.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he just kicked my ass every time. This, I mean, I did that like 3 or 4 times. And then I turned around. I like did the flash grenade or the EMP grenade. And I turned around and ran away. And there's gas canisters behind you.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so you pick up a gas canister and you throw the gas canister at him. And it explodes on impact and like stuns him and shocks him. And then there's explosive barrels all over the place too.
Yeah.
You pick up the explosive barrel, throw that at him, and I think I hit him with like 2, maybe 3 of the explosive barrels, and then I gunned him down.
See,
so
how many times did you have to take to do that though? A couple times?
Probably took me 2 or 3 times. I know you said you beat him in the first time you tried.
Well, yeah, because I got lucky. Literally, like I accidentally threw a EMP grenade, ran around. He didn't know where the hell I was, but I just kept tossing frag grenades and ended up beating him. The second boss, even more lucky, because I literally played her, I want to say, about anywhere between 15 and 20 times.
Wow.
And I knew how to beat her, but you know me, I don't have the patience to, like, if I think I have a good opportunity to just go in there and, okay, I think she's almost dead, I just go in there and fucking pummel her with, like, shotgun blast or something. And then she has this one attack that basically kills you in one hit. And I think I'd be out of
fantastic.
The radius. Yeah, it's awesome. And I wouldn't be out of the radius and I'd die. So this happened a ton of times, so I started, like, luckily, right before her, I had 4 praxy points to augment my stuff. So I was trying different combinations, and finally I got one that I felt like, okay, her damage is totally being reduced that she's dealing to me, so I think I can do this. But at the same time I did that, I got lucky, and she got stuck on a piece of geometry. And
oh, are you serious?
Move, and she actually was not moving. She was not moving at all. So she wasn't even like twitching, like trying to get out and like run. She was just stuck. So I took up my gun and started shooting her, and she was doing like she's getting hit animation, going like, ah. So I'm like, but I don't know if this is fucking registering because she is not moving. If I stop shooting, she is just simply just stuck, like not moving at all. And then eventually I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm just going to pull out and guns are just wailing on her, and all of a sudden I beat her. So it was like, I ended up beating her by
I would consider that lucky. Yes.
I was totally lucky. Totally by fluke, but it just sucked because, like, I literally fought her for a good, like, a couple minutes before that. I was like, I think I legitimately have her, but I wasn't really sure. And then she got stuck, and I was like, ah, screw it. I don't appreciate that this is the way I'm beating her, but I'll take it.
So, did you feel a little dirty?
I did. I did feel a lot dirty, especially after the first boss, where I'm pretty sure something like that, because, like, as much as I say that like, he couldn't see me, it was, like, a weird animation where I EMP'd him, ran around, and he was kind of looking for me, but he wasn't, like, when I'd hit him with a frag grenade, he wouldn't turn and face me. He'd still face the other way. So I actually...
Well, no, he's just a big guy, and it takes him a while to turn around.
But he wasn't even trying to.
Like, oh, okay.
Like, frag grenade, then shoot. He's not doing anything. Frag grenade. So I think I honestly got lucky for the first two bosses, and they both kind of got caught on something or did, like, some kind of bug or glitch. And, like, bar that, like, I mean, the game's still... I think it's still really, really good. Like, the review's going to be up next week, like, for sure. And this is one of the main issues I have with it. And there's some funny bugs. There's this one... I have to tell this one. This one was... I love this one. I'm playing stealth lethal. So, basically, I play stealthily, but I will kill the dudes. And then if I get seen, I have no problem, like, destroying them. That's fine. So, I dropped I was going through this area, tranked one dude to my left. Saw another guy right in front of me, probably about, I don't know, let's say, do you guys talk in yards or meters? Yards?
Yards. Yeah, I know meters too, though.
All right, well, okay, well, we'll go with yards' sake. Well, like maybe 15 yards down, so, or 20. Trank him. So I'm thinking, I'm good. I got this place cleared. Then all of a sudden, I hear something to my left. I turn to my left. There's another guard right there next to the guy I just tranked. He kneels down to wake him up, and all of a sudden, he starts sliding down the hallway, still kneeled down, doing the animations like he's waking the one dude up, and goes to the other dude that was 20 yards in front of me that I tranked. I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like, the guy on the left, he didn't wake him up, but he woke up the guy that was really far away. But it was just really funny how he literally, it was like watching him do a moonwalk on his, like, crouching. He went to help the one dude, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, that guy's more important, and just started doing the moonwalk away. Like, 20 yards around. I'm like, that. I wish I was recording video.
Yeah, no
that
kidding.
Was so freaking awesome. But it was pretty funny. But yeah, I think I'm more than halfway done to the game, that is for sure. But I'm really enjoying it, really surprised by
cool.
it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm loving the hell out of it, too. I think I'm in China. I'm about to go to the Hive. So I know that you know what I'm talking about there.
I know exactly where you're
talking
about.
So that's where I am. I just did the mission, the first main mission that you do when you get there, I really enjoyed that mission.
What was it? I can't remember.
It was the one where you had to sneak in and track down the hacker.
Track down the hacker. Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that because I'm kind of doing I'm doing stealth non-lethal, but if I get caught, I will unload on people. And it's,
wasn't he the guy that was just sleeping in a little thing?
What's that?
I don't know. We might have talked about this at break because I think I'm getting one thing mixed up with
you. Might be. This is the one where there was a secret room in an apartment that was already revealed because they broke into it or something like that. I don't know.
It's, okay. Yeah.
I'm not really giving anything away because that's kind of it's kind of given to you as soon as you get there. But But I'm doing stealth non-lethal. But if I get caught, then I have no problem, you know, unloading on people. But for this particular mission, I think I literally took out, and my trank gun is gone. I don't even have it anymore because I ran out of ammo, and ammo is so scarce. And
it
it's
is
like,
very scarce.
And it's like you trank someone, and they come over, and then someone comes over and wakes them up, and it's just like, oh well, there's some ammo wasted.
Suck less and don't let them get woken up.
I know, right? I can't. I gotta suck less.
The way I looked at it, this is what I started doing, Chris, is because I will trank people like if I know people aren't going to wake them up, because I realize if you just trank them, they're not getting up anyway.
Yeah.
They're pretty much dead.
So right. It. But,
morality out the window.
So I ended up doing, the entire mission with melee knockouts, and melee knocked out every single person that was in my way. I think it was like 13 guys.
How did you do that? Like, did you buy a shit ton of, like those reboot thing, like I don't want to I don't want to call them like protein powder. So you know the things the basically the energy.
No, cell no. Uh-uh. I'll space it out. I'll knock out one guy and then I'll wait until it charges back up.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'll knock out another guy and so that's how I beat that mission.
That's another kind of complaint I have. Like I wish the whole energy bar refilled.
Yeah, I was. We talked about this in an email thread. And it's retarded. It's like you have all these different augments. You have an augment where you can drop from any distance and not take damage, you can't recharge a fucking battery. Really? This is a problem for you?
And that's like a basic thing. It's like you have all this stuff that doesn't take any battery power to do, like. I don't think breaking through walls does that or anything like something along those lines, but well, maybe it does. I don't have the breaking down wall thing, but you cannot just melee somebody or take them down, which is a normal attack in anything else, without using that energy, and it's not replenishable up like after the first energy cell. Like kind of backwards.
Right. Yeah. It's retarded because it really makes no sense because there's literally. And the other thing that pisses me off is when you go to do a takedown and it says not enough room. And it's like, great. So I can't do jack shit right here. Oh, I went up to someone who was in an office chair and I tried to do a takedown and it said not enough room. I'm like, you would think that they would have a takedown for someone in an office chair.
I've done one where a guy's sitting one, you kind of do like a thing, you lean over the chair and kind of sleep him out kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's what I would expect it to happen, but it seriously just came up with enough room. Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it was annoying. So, I mean, the game definitely has its little things that could have been tweaked, I mean, I'm still having a blast with it. I think the hacking minigame is really cool. Yeah. You know, I've been doing pretty well with that. I think I've maxed out like the stealth side of the hacking, and I can hack up to level 3 right now. I've only seen like one level 4, so I haven't really missed much on that front.
There's more later, but I've heard like from a lot of stuff I've like heard people play is like the 3 is like the main one you really need. The 4 and the 5 are mostly for, well, from like I said, all hearsay, but stuff like opening up, just getting extra like supplies. So if you want to actually get like stealthily into places, usually it's 3 is the highest.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not true. This is just what I've heard from some people who've played it, but who knows?
Cool, but yeah, I'm enjoying it too. I'm loving the hell out of it. So I'm hoping to actually beat this game, but I don't know. I guess we'll see how it goes.
It's fucking mute button. It's pretty long. I'm guessing 20 hours or so without doing all the side quests.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I am doing all the side quests though because
I'm trying to do them.
I'm a completionist whore and I want to try and get as many praxis points as I can and that kind of shit. So yeah,
true that.
Cool.
So
what else?
Crimson Alliance. I don't know if you guys downloaded this.
No, I didn't.
No? First of all, I didn't realize. I thought they screwed up. I went on Xbox Live. I'm like, Crimson Alliance. Oh my god, it's out already. And if people who don't know, that's kind of like the Torchlight Diablo type game.
Okay.
That's on Xbox Live Arcade, and it was the game that if you bought all the Summer of Arcade games,
you got that one free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it came up in my thing saying free. So I was like, wait a second, not just trial is free? So I'm like, no, it just says free. I'm like, and it's like almost a gig. I'm like, sweet, I guess I screwed up. Download it. Then it comes down to pick your character. Pick your character. Please pay 1,400 points to unlock the full class of that character. Like, I guess the full character. It's like, So they're trying to disguise as some kind of, like, I'm not sure if they're disguising it as, like, a free-to-play game, but you have to actually pay 1,200 Microsoft points to open up everything, or if they just screwed up in their labeling of the game, and this is actually the trial version, because everything is labeled trial version when you're playing it. It's like, you are playing the trial version. But you don't download the trial version, you download the actual game from the actual menu, which is
right.
Really weird.
Hmm.
I don't know. I literally only played it for about 10 minutes, and 10 minutes was enough for me to be like, I'd rather be playing Torchlight. So, I don't know what that says. I don't know if it's online. I think it is co-op. There's, from at least in the trial, there's three different classes, like a soldier, a mage, and an assassin.
Okay.
And I picked the assassin chick, whatever, and it was like, I don't know, it just didn't seem to run as well as Torchlight or something like that. It just kind of seemed kind of framey at times, and just not as polished, but not really enough to really judge whether or not people should buy it if they like those games. But I did try it out, and I do want to at least play through the entire trial to make a decision. But yeah, I can just say this is whether it's good or not compared to the rest of those kind of things. The entire time, like 10 minutes in, I was like, I would rather play Torchlight. So yeah,
that's a bad sign usually.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to have that kind of like. What's the word I'm looking for? Like that kind of like, you know, whimsical, I guess. Like the whimsy of Torchlight.
The whimsy of Torchlight
just wasn't there. And I know how like people was kind of like blasphemous, like, oh, like you should be like, it should be Diablo. I'm like, no. You know what? At this point, I'm actually looking forward to Torchlight 2 more than Diablo 3.
Yeah. Well.
Blasphemous maybe, but I really like after watching some videos, I'm like, I don't know. Torchlight is just like a, I don't know. It's got a lot of character.
I think so too.
But yeah. That's basically it. Like, maybe I'll play it again next week. I mean, most likely not. But, I mean, it's, again, free trial. Download it. See what you think. I'm sure Scott, like, I know Scott loves games like this from Gamers Only Older, so I'm sure he'll talk about it on his show, hopefully, if he downloaded it. But I want to see what his opinions are, because I'm not the best person to listen to opinions of dungeon crawlers, loot grabbing stuff. Right, Aces?
Dude, that's right.
Wake up.
Cool. All right. Well, I've got a few things.
All right.
We talked about Deus Ex already, so that was the majority of the first half of my week.
Okay.
One thing I forgot to talk about last week: Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, the Resurrection DLC. I finally got around to that, and
hasn't that been out since like a month ago?
It has, but I've been playing other games and just hadn't gotten to it. And
is it better than the first one?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it is and it's not, because so honestly, the second DLC, it's like the first DLC pack, Revere, was all building up to it was like building up to this boss fight with the ancient one or the whatever they called it, and the second DLC is the boss fight of the ancient one.
That's it.
But the boss fight is
off.
Yeah. No, seriously. The boss fight is basically one
Three
chapter.
Hours long.
No, it's one chapter, two stages. So
what?
That's kind of the way it does it. I don't know. It's just.
Did you get it? Was it free if you downloaded the other DLC?
No, of course not. I spent $20 on DLC for Lords of Shadow, and I basically feel like I bent over and said, "Go ahead, Konami, stick it to me."
Wow, that wasn't $20 for this new one. It was for both of them combined.
For both of them combined, yeah. And
so they basically gave you DLC for like this new kind of expansion, new levels, and they're like, "Oh, you're not going to fight the boss yet, and we're going to charge you $10 to fight the boss."
Pretty much, yeah. That's what happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I was a little disappointed with that. I was going to do another video review of that one, but honestly, because the entire thing is a boss fight, the entire video review would be a spoiler. So I'm not going to do that. But I do actually have the footage. So I don't know. Maybe I'll clip the footage together. And
I want to try to recreate that Deus Ex fucking glitch. That was fucking awesome.
That would be hilarious. You need to get that shit on tape. Either that or we need to try and get it, because I've got the capture card. We need to try and get it on, to happen on mine. But so yeah, Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Resurrection DLC, not worth it. Don't bother unless you really, really want to see this giant boss fight that you have to fight.
But do you give it like at least a one out of like a?
I would give it an almost give a shit. Gives a shit.
Almost gives a shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's not good at all.
No. Especially considering it's me and I'm talking about Castlevania.
Yeah, exactly. Usually when it has Castlevania, it automatically gets a 3 from Chris. Yes. And it just depends on whether or not it's better or worse than Symphony of the Night. So, if it goes along that line... Actually, I wouldn't even say that. I would say... never mind.
Symphony of the Night is the epitome of games in general.
Of games.
So,
it is perfect.
It is the perfect game for me. So
it's very good.
All right, let's see what else. So the lovely Vitamin Amy on Retroids started up a game club, kind of like
a
book club.
And Parasite Eve.
Yeah, we're playing Parasite Eve. I just got to day 3 out of 6. This game,
hold up?
Visually, it actually kind of does on the PSP. It doesn't look bad because it's got, you know, it's the pre-rendered backgrounds and all that stuff. So they have a lot of, you know, they have a lot of resources to put into the architecture of the characters. So the models they look a little better than your typical, PS1 models and that, like character models and that kind of shit. Where this game really starts, where you really start to feel the archaic game design is when it comes to the way they handle the backgrounds and like finding items, because there is a huge, like, and I don't even really know if you would call it hit detection, but that's the only thing that I can think of that would fit, where they're like, for instance, in the second area, in the second day, there's, when you get to the enemy infested area, you're running around and all of a sudden there's two doors that need a key. I'm like, I have been everywhere in this fucking area and there's no place where there's a key. So I looked at a FAQ and the FAQ said, hey, go back to this room that I've already been to and searched every nook and cranny twice and there's a key in there. So I go back to that room and I'm looking all around again, and it's like, not only do you have to hit X to search the correct spot, but you have to be facing like exactly the right direction. So you can't, if you have to face like right, you can't be facing right and down. Does that make sense? So you have to be literally perpendicular to what you're trying to search. So if you're a little bit off to the side, it won't pick up the fact that you searched that.
Oh, okay.
So that was a really big, annoying issue for me, just because I feel like, you know, besides the fact that it's pre-rendered backgrounds and it doesn't give you really any indication that you should be searching there, you know, it's just, I thought it was unusual. But again,
what kind of game is Parasite Eve?
Parasite Eve is it's kind of like
it's weird.
It's a survival horror role-playing game, sort of.
Yeah, but it's kind of like action. It's like faster moving than like Final Fantasy would be, but.
Well, it's not fast moving,
it's
dude.
It's not fast moving.
It's not fast moving.
Well, from what I remember, you battle in like a circle area.
Yeah,
right?
Basically, what happens is like when you get into an area that's infested with enemies, it is random battles, but the random battles can only happen in specific areas that have enough room to battle, because you don't actually go into a battle screen. You just start battling right where you are. So the enemies will appear. And she'll run to the best position for where the battle can start. And then what happens is that, you know, she's a cop, and she carries around a gun. And you, when your active time is full, you hit X, and it brings up like this dome over her. That's basically, this is your range.
Yeah,
and you select an enemy within your range.
Are you sure
and you
it's
can
not
fire.
Really fast moving? Like, isn't it like you can still control her in that dome?
You can, but it's, if you actually go back and play it right now, she moves so slow. She moves ridiculously
slow. Yeah, it's been
slow.
Like, I have not, literally not played that game till probably the first month it was out originally.
Yeah, but I'm still enjoying the hell out of it though. I mean, I never played Parasite Eve when it came out on PS1. I mean, I remember I was in college working at the game store, and I remember showing it off to a bunch of people, and I played the demo like several times, but I never actually bought the game and played the game. So, it's kind of refreshing, you know, because it's a different type of RPG. It's not very hard, and it's a shorter RPG too, because I'm on day three of six. I just started day three of six, and I'm only like 3 hours in. So
it's not a long game.
Yeah. It's really not a long game.
Beat it in like 8 hours.
Yeah.
It's not long.
Yeah. So that's Parasite Eve. I'm going to be probably talking about that throughout the month, because that's kind of the way we're doing it, one game per month. So that is the game for September. The last game I want to talk about is Blood Rain. Now,
I want to hear about Blood Rain.
Yeah, I want to hear this too, because I downloaded the trial. I haven't played it yet, but watching you guys play it on the stream, it looked kind of cool. But then I heard you guys kind of saying control issues here or there.
There are some. So, well, first let me get this out of the way. The first thing you have to realize is that you need to know how to control Rain in order to progress in this game. Because like one of the things that I think Jeff said on the stream is that it looked like we were getting our asses kicked a lot.
At first
we were getting our asses kicked a lot, but once we realized like the different moves that Rain could do, it started to make things a lot easier as we went through. So like, the actual, like, typical normal enemies became just fodder. Once you actually get the combos down, okay, so the combat is one button, but it's one button, like the melee combat is one button, and, you know, it depends on what you're doing on the directional pad. So if you hold up and hit the attack button, she'll actually launch them in the air and then jump after them. And you can do combos in the air, and then you can do, like, if you hit forward and attack at the same time, she'll literally, like, kick them across the screen. So there is a level of... I don't want to say that the combat is deep, because it's really not, but it's almost like Muramasa. Like Muramasa had the same style combat. It was pretty much one button, and based on what you were doing with the directional pad, you know, that would modify what you were doing in combat, and it would change up your combos and stuff.
Do you think it's not deep because of it being 2D, or just because of that's how the style was chosen by the developers?
No, I think it's deep combat for what it is, but you know, when you compare it to other character action games, because this is kind of like a 2D character action game, right? So, but when you compare it to other things that have like Devil May Cry, that's probably the closest thing, because you know, you have melee weapons and a gun. There's a lot more combat options in Devil May Cry than there are in Blood Rain Betrayal. But as you said, 2D game, it's all about, there's platforming involved too. So there's other focuses there. I'm not putting that as a strike against the game. It's a positive, because it is pretty deep for what it is, and it's fun as hell, and it's fast, and it's pretty. I mean, the game fucking gorgeous. I mean,
that goes without, like, without knowing anything about the game. If you just come across a random screen or someone playing it, that game is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's way forward. We talked to those guys, and the one thing that we said on the show is that the one thing that they are really, really good at is they get the animation down in 2D games. And this is their first step really into a full fledged like. Current gen system, like rather than putting something on the Wii, and man, it is astonishing just how good this game looks. Now when some of the things that we were talking about are control issues, that came a little later. Some of the platforming is a little difficult because there's like a delay. Like when you hit the D-pad to go somewhere, there's like a slight like fraction of a second delay, and then she just starts running full speed. Well, when you're trying to make minor adjustments to where you are on a platform or something like that, that's really difficult because of that. Because you're either not moving or you're moving full speed. So fine tuning where you are to try and make a jump is kind of difficult. And the other thing is that some of the combat oriented controls were not very well thought out. And the reason I say that is because, so when you are standing over an enemy that's been knocked down, and you hit the attack button, she will stomp them. And as long as you are above that, as long as you're standing over that enemy, she will continue to stomp until it's dead. and that's really cool when you're playing on the stages. However, when you are in a confined area, like when you're on one of those crab bosses that, you know, many of the videos are out there about that, the bosses that are like crawling down the walls. When you're in an area that's that small and you need to, grab one of the enemies in order to complete to defeat the boss, it makes things a little difficult. So when you try and grab an enemy, he will resist you. So you have to stun him first by hitting him with a melee attack. Right. But if you try and hit him with a melee attack and you're standing over someone, she'll stomp. So instead of doing melee grab, you're doing stomp grab and he resists you. So on the second boss, I died like 8 times because she kept stomping things into the ground. It's like, stop stomping, slash this motherfucker, let me bite him and blow him up. That was what I was trying to do. And it just, you know, I don't think that was very well thought out. The stomp should be a move. You know, I don't know how to change it up, but make it something where you actually have to touch the D-pad to do something. And, you know, because making it automatically stomp is actually damaging the control scheme of the game when you're in these tight areas trying to grab enemies.
So is it like the same button does two different things, but for different instances in the world?
Yes, it's based on context. So the melee attack will stomp if you're standing over an enemy, or it will use her swords if you're not. So right. That's why I'm saying when you're in a confined space, enemies getting knocked down, usually by the boss itself, then, you know, when you try and slash to stun an enemy to grab him, it doesn't stun. She'll stomp and then try and grab and it's useless. So that was a little frustration that I ran into, but that was it though. I mean, everything else has been just great fun. Yesterday, I probably played it for just an hour and a half straight. I think I got through the first 5 stages, just loving every minute of it until I got to that boss.
So once you get used to it, once you get the kind of grasp on how the game mechanics work.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some tricks. The probably the biggest fault that was there in the beginning is that she can't duck. It's like, what is that about? How can you not duck?
That is weird.
So in order to duck, like, I mean, guys are shooting you. Like the generic vampire dudes, they'll come out and they'll pull out a gun and shoot you. But you can't duck. In order to actually dodge the bullet, you have to either jump over it or you have to do, if you hit down and attack, she'll do a sweep, which basically makes her duck. Or if you hit L2, she'll do this like forward dash that makes her low to the ground. So that's a couple ways to get around it. Or if you grab an enemy while she's in her grab animation, she's invincible. So the bullets will just go right through her. So there's little tricks that
okay,
you can,
little things
you can yeah, there's
do.
Little things that you can do to get around it. But you know, that was kind of like, it was kind of weird at first.
So
it's like you
so
can't
you do
duck.
Get the Castlevania vibe from it.
I get the old school Castlevania vibe from it,
like level based.
Yeah,
not Metroidvania.
Yeah,
like.
Definitely not Metroidvania based, but I do get the level based. I mean, right down to like the music and the environments and just like everything, and even like you get little treasures as you go, and they remind me of like hitting the candles.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah, that's cool.
It's very, very Castlevania. It's very, very old school Castlevania with a deep combat system for a 2D game. And then you not only have the melee combat, but you got melee combat, guns, and then you can grab. And the grab is, you know, if you bite him and let him go, then you can detonate him and make him explode. Excuse me. Or you can just hold down the button and she will basically drink his blood and get health back.
Gain health back.
So
that's cool.
That's pretty much where I am right now. I'm going to be reviewing it. So I've been drawing up the outline already. But I'm going to wait until after I finish the game. So, maybe next week, should be up. But I mean, as of right now, man, I am loving the game and it is 15
yeah,
bucks.
I'm going to maybe try it out tonight after this, actually.
Yeah. Totally 15 bucks is well worth it. 15 bucks is well worth it.
Cool. I was one question. How does the environments vary?
It
looked like, well, from watching the stream, it was like Nair and like World 2 or like whatever, like one. I don't. It all looked like very similar.
Well, you do go into a castle.
Mm.
Go figure. So
and fight Dracula.
Yeah,
weird.
Maybe. as of right now, I can't say that the environments are really grabbing me enough to say, oh, they're much different or something like that. But I mean, there are. I mean, you are traveling into a castle, so I have a feeling they're going to get significantly different as I progress through the game. Mm-hmm. So okay. We'll see, though. I will have more on that next week. Cool. All right.
Can't wait.
Let's move to some news real quick.
Ah, it's just kind of you're not going to like it, Chris.
I'm not.
No.
Why?
We talked about it. I think it was last week, week before, where Nintendo, there's a rumor that they're going to add a second analog nub to the 3DS.
Oh man, I posted about this on Retroids.
Yeah,
I really hate this.
It's true.
Fuck you, Nintendo. Seriously, it's like what I don't get is I just don't understand how. I mean, like Nintendo when they've gone through this falling from grace thing before. Okay, when they went from the Super NES to the N64, there was a large fall from grace.
Yeah, you know, they were GameCube basically killed it.
Yeah, they were really high on themselves. They thought they were hot shit. Then PlayStation comes along, and then they're, you know, blabbing their mouth. Oh, they call Final Fantasy VII a child's game, and you know, blah blah blah. And they basically just like face planted, and then GameCube face plant. So the Wii comes out, and the DS comes out, and they are like some millions and millions and millions of consoles. And they're all high on themselves again. And they released the 3DS. It's rushed. You can tell it's rushed. And now they didn't even design the hardware well enough that they have to actually patch the hardware?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
Well,
I mean,
so, okay, the only saving light on this right now is that the only thing that we know is going to use it is Monster Hunter.
The other games will, though.
I have a feeling.
If FPS games or anything released on there, it's going to
it's
gonna use both. And well, this is my thing. When we first talked about the nub, we thought it was going to be a hardware revision. And that's what really pissed me off. When I saw this was like a peripheral, it's like, okay, that's fine. Because if you're using a 3DS and you want to play those games, you'll get that peripheral. And I guarantee you, the games that need it will come with it. It'll be like... What's it called?
At least the first few.
The first few, exactly. The ones I really want to get.
There is no doubt in my mind that Monster Hunter will come with this peripheral.
Oh, it'll come with it for sure, 100%.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. The fact that you can upgrade your current 3DS with it kind of eased the pain a little bit more than initially when I first read it. I was like, oh, it's bullshit. Like, this just came out. First the big price drop, now this. Like... You know, like, ambassador my fucking ass. I don't want to be ambassador of people that, like, stab me in the stomach when I'm trying to support you guys, like, for whatever. I'm like, fuck that. Like, sorry, Balloon Fight isn't going to do it for me. Like, and, like, fucking Mario 1 and all that kind of stuff.
For the record, though, Balloon Fight is a pretty fun game.
It is. But, I mean, come on. Dude, that's like being like, hey, dude, I bought a fucking PS3 to play fucking Bionic Commando, the original.
Like, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's rearmed.
That way. Well, I didn't say rearmed.
Oh,
said
okay.
Original. But, yeah, it's, you just, I don't know. But the thing that, what actually got me looking at it and thinking I might buy it, like, day one, is simply because of the fact that it makes 3DS wider, and that's my biggest issue with the system, is my hands cramp like a mofo playing that thing. If I play it for more than, like, 20 minutes, like, sitting up, my hand starts to cramp. Like, my hand, just because it's small, like, you're trying to reach for my hands are bigger, and I'm, like, trying to reach for, like, the L buttons and
stuff. Right.
But this widens it a little bit, and I think just for that alone, it's going to make it more comfortable for me to play. So not even the fact that it has an extra analog nub, which is just a plus. I was like, eh. At the same time, like, I wish original design, of course. I still think it's kind of BS. And well, I mean, you know, 3BS, you were saying that.
3BS.
Yeah. Yep. And it makes sense, but
it's kind
of a kick in the face.
I think it's going to be more of a kick in the face if they actually do announce a hardware revision. That actually includes it.
If they announce it this year, that will not be a good move.
No,
they have to wait. They have to at least have the 3DS out for a year and a bit before they do a revision. They have to.
Yeah, and that's
so bad.
That's the thing. I just don't see. I don't know what the hell Nintendo's doing. And you know, there was another report that came out that, and I didn't put this in news, but I'm going to bring it up right now. There's another report that came out that said that like the the Wii U right now is in like development hell because developers cannot get the controller to work as it's designed with the API. Now, this is just a rumor, so, you know, who knows if this is true or not. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if it turns out to be true, it's like, there is no fucking way that I am getting the Wii U anywhere in the launch window, especially after this move.
No, no. So, but, I mean, at the same time, though, like, let's be realistic. Every single hardware has had revisions, every single, like, no matter what. I mean, Vita's going to be the same thing. Vita's going to come out, people are going to buy it day one. I guarantee a year after that thing is released, like, a year and a bit, there's going to be some kind of revision that's going to add something that the original doesn't have.
But it's not another control option.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge, like, yeah, I don't think it's going to be something like that. But it's the same thing. Like, everyone who early adopts gets bit somehow.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, even the DS, people who adopted early got bit because then they released the DSi that had more functionality and you know, could download games and shit like that. And it's like, I have a DS Lite.
Exactly.
I was just kind of chilling out with my GBA port. I'm like, look, I got a GBA port.
Like you said, it's usually like a hardware revision in terms of something like that. It's just kind of unusual.
Yeah. Like, changing the actual control scheme. I mean, this peripheral makes it so that you don't necessarily segment your market, but that's what it would do. It would segment your market.
If the games that use it don't come with it, yes, it totally does. Let's be realistic, not all of them are going to come with it because there's not going to be... I mean, this is a first-party peripheral, right?
Nintendo is actually making this peripheral.
Yeah, so unless they actually license that out and like let any third party who's making like some kind of dual-stick game... So basically any kind of dual game that would normally use the dual analog nubs would have to come up with some other way to play the game without it. And still,
right.
Be kind of weird.
Right.
Yeah. But I see what you're getting at. It's a valid argument.
For those that are saying that Monster Hunter doesn't need it, because like Monster Hunter is on the PSP, right? There's no there's not really a reason to have.
That doesn't mean it plays like gold,
right? There's two things to this. Number one, the actual positioning of the D-pad and the analog, the circle pad, make it much more difficult to play that game on the 3DS with only one analog. Because they do like people who play it a lot do this like claw hand thing where they use their index finger and they reach around and actually use the D-pad with the index finger. You can't really do that with this. The other thing I will say is that they are porting Monster Hunter. Yeah, what? You don't.
Why could you not do it?
Because the D-pad's underneath. So you would actually have to use the.
Lower.
Well, no. What you would have to do is you'd have to use the D-pad with your thumb and you'd have to use the circle pad, which moves the character with your index finger.
So how would people do it? They do. Their thumb on the
analog nub,
pad. Yeah,
and then their index finger it reaches up like from behind and uses the D-pad
for to control the camera. Oh my god!
Yeah,
are you serious?
Yeah, that's like people that are big on Monster Hunter. That's how they play.
I don't care if they're big on Monster Hunter. They get used to that. That is not a good way of going about playing a game.
Yeah, it's not comfortable at all. I've tried it. It is not.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, that is. Oh my god. Yeah. That is ridiculous. I need to try that. I need to find my PSP.
The other thing I will say is that they are porting Monster Hunter Tri, which uses all of these buttons that they're putting on this peripheral. Because
they're going to say all the power of the Wii.
All the power of the Wii. No, it uses all the buttons that are on the classic controller. This peripheral actually adds, I think I've heard, it adds shoulder buttons too.
I was just gonna say you gotta wait for something that adds a shoulder button.
Yeah, I think this actually adds a shoulder button. It's like on the right hand side, it has an R1 and an R2 because the actual peripheral covers the R button, and then on the other side, it adds an L2 button.
We might be seeing Nintendo's fall from grace again.
Yeah, I think this is what it is. This and then Wii U is gonna
commercially. I think it's gonna happen for sure, but I mean in terms of like hardcore gamers.
Hasn't already happened?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it pretty much has. But I don't know, I have some friends that, like, really still enjoy the Wii, just because they're basically Nintendo fans, but...
All right, let's move on. What else we got?
Anyone want to buy a 3DS? Sell it to you for a good price of $225.
It's got all the Ambassador games on it.
Throw it out there. It's got, yeah, exactly. Well, it's got five of them. You can get all of them.
But you have access to all the Ambassador games.
I do. You can use my profile. Because you know what, you're going to have to use it online because you have to find my friend code and then get everyone else's friend code. Sorry. Anyway.
Fuck you, Nintendo. Sorry.
Ryan Payton, he was the guy who, if people don't know, he was like in like gaming media and stuff like that like back in the day. Then he worked for Konami. He was working on Metal Gear Solid 4. He helped do the, I guess, the localization of, like, the controls, because a lot of people in the Western Hemisphere kind of complained about how Metal Gear, even though, like, it sold well, people liked it, the controls are kind of felt a little bit archaic compared to the third-person
anything
games
else.
At this time. Yeah, basically. So he basically went over there and did a good job of, like, you know, making things feel a little bit more up-to-date. He started working for 343 Studios, which, of course, is the new Halo developers
right.
for Microsoft, and a lot of Bungie people stayed there and stuff. He was a creative director. He walked. He quit.
Wow.
Actually, just like a few days ago. He was working on Halo 4. And I remember when they announced Halo 4 on Twitter, he was like, thank God we're finally available. Well, like it was a shocker, but oh my God, I can't believe we can finally announce what we've been working on for the past like 2-3 years in Halo 4. But he just walked. He said he doesn't regret a minute that he worked for 343, that it was awesome, and it has nothing to do with the game's quality, but his vision of Halo 4 obviously can't be reached or whatever, or is not going to happen, so he just felt like he just doesn't want to be part of the project anymore. Which, to me, kind of throws up a red flag a little bit.
And yeah.
One of you guys, we talked about a little bit off the Naces, you said, well, why does this throw up a red flag for you?
Because it shows that if he wanted to change it quite substantially from what Halo is now, that means that obviously they're going to keep it close or close to what Halo is now.
Yeah, and that was kind of my kind of like that original thinking when you said that. I was like, well, actually, that might be true, because he was listening to other podcasts and people who like know him close. Like I said, I'm pretty sure he worked for 1UP or EGM or something like that back in the day. But he was basically in charge of the storyline aspect for the most part and some like design stuff. And he was just basically said, yeah, it wasn't like what I had envisioned. Basically not going to happen. So whatever.
That kind of sucks.
Leaving. So I'm hoping that it's only story-wise, because I really think Halo needs it doesn't need a kick in the ass gameplay-wise. Like, that game is still good and still going to sell whatever, but for it to make that next jump to even try to take down Call of Duty, it's got to change its, like, gameplay mechanics a little bit more than Reach did. And Reach was a good jump. Let's say Reach was like maybe a 50% jump to getting to where I'd love like it to play right now, and I think a lot of other people would as well. It needs that other 50%, and I think he might have saw this. This is all speculation. This is us talking off the cuff, like whatever, and what Microsoft wants, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it, sort of thing. I think that's what they're kind of going for.
Yeah, I think so too.
It is either way. It's right away. I was like, really? Because they just announced Halo 4 at E3, and that wasn't that long ago,
right?
Like two months ago. And or 3 months ago, three months ago.
Yep.
And all of a sudden he was so excited to be like, I finally got to announce it, and now it's all of a sudden like, yeah, I'm leaving. But apparently he's just leaving 343. Like, I think he's still with Microsoft Studios. So I don't know what's going on. But yeah, weird.
Yeah, anywho. I mean we've all know that he's been working on this project for quite a long time.
Yeah,
so.
Ever since Metal Gear Solid 4, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so ever since
it's been,
he
it's
left
been a
there.
While.
But, you know, guys, a while back there was a story that ModernWarfare3.com would run you to a spoof site telling you about how Modern Warfare 3 sucked and how Battlefield was better. You know, that was funny.
Yeah.
You know, but now I think we can all rejoice because Activision, they finally got the rights to the website. So you can fully expect that if anytime in the near future, if you want to go to ModernWarfare3.com, it's probably going to send you to the Modern Warfare website, the official one, you know, not this spoof one that
get
was
the
just
fuck
a...
out. Really?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you would think
so
that's...
You're saying if I type on my keyboard www.modernwarfare3.com, I am going to go to a site for Modern Warfare 3, the video game.
Don't get too excited right now. It's still down. It's still being switched between parties, but that's what will happen. You will get exactly what you want when you type that into your address
right,
bar.
You know what, let me try this right now, because this has been bugging me for fucking months, so hold on a second right now.
He just said they haven't done it yet.
Well, I want to check this out. Alright, here we go. Here, this is what I'm picking up. Oh, no, dude, Aces, you're totally wrong as well.
What does it say?
Because all I'm picking up is in big, bold text.
Who
gives a shit?
Gives a shit?
Not about the game, but who cares? Yeah, you're right. They got the domain. Good for them.
Yeah.
Why is that even news?
And the person he got it from is probably like, okay, whatever.
Exactly.
It's like, congratulations, you spent like probably hundreds of thousands of dollars on lawyers to get back a website. All right.
But at the same time, I'd be like, fucking Activision, you're fucking retarded. Like, if you want...
Activision could have probably paid the guy like $10,000 and he would have
been
done with it.
They could have bought him a fucking value meal from fucking Wendy's, and the guy would have been like, fine, here, it's yours.
I don't know, dude. Baconators.
Baconators, there you go. I actually did have one more thing to mention.
Yeah, the Dragon Quest, yo.
Yeah, Dragon Quest X, lots of details coming out, and one I'm not very happy with. It must be played online, and there may be a monthly fee.
Maybe. I thought it was guaranteed.
Well, no, it's not guaranteed, because remember, Monster Hunter Tri in Japan has a monthly fee. Here
it
doesn't.
Japan, though. Yeah.
So there's that. But if there is a monthly fee, that pretty much guarantees I will not buy this game, because I don't know, paying for online on the Wii kind of feels like paying someone to put a flaming bag of shit on your porch. That's
not the quite metaphor that you're going for, but yeah.
That's what it seems like to me. It's like, oh, well, here's $20. I want you to put a flaming bag of poo on my porch. Well, that is what paying for Wii Online
I
is
know
like
what you mean. It's also coming on 3DS in some way or another.
I think they kind of
like
mentioned
that.
I didn't really look into too much detail, but...
I think the parallels between, you know, the Wii Online and the 3DS Online would still be pretty similar.
Yeah, probably.
The fact that the 3DS Online is probably better than the Wii Online is pretty sad, actually.
Well, no, I mean, 3DS is right up there with Dreamcast, right? So it's catching up.
Way to improve, Nintendo. Way to improve.
So, Chris, Phantasy Star Online 2, subscription, $10. You down day one?
Hell yeah.
Of course. I had to ask. Well, that's PSP. That's Vita, though, right?
No, it's PC.
Is it PC?
Yeah. Phantasy Star Online 2 is PC only, so fuck yes, I am.
Wow, I didn't.
Because that is a good online experience. I'm okay with that. Sega has proven themselves in that space to me. Because
yeah, when in 2000 when PSO came out.
Yeah. The online for PSU worked, regardless of what you think of the game. The online worked very well. Yeah.
It did. The online for PSO worked.
I know.
Now it's
over dial-up.
Awesome. That's the news, I guess, in a nutshell.
That is the news. So let's take a break.
All right, let's do it.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about our sleeper hits of 2011. Then we're going to do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us. We'll be right back. It's time to wake up. Didn't say welcome back, but that's okay.
I don't care.
All right, so today we were asking about what games you thought were going to be sleeper hits of 2011, and we got some pretty good response for this. We got a few emails and we also got a voicemail. So because I didn't put together a doc, I'm going to be stuck reading all these. So we'll see how this goes. I know, right? We'll see how this goes. All right, our first email comes from Alex Hedges, a.k.a. Hedges 1001. He says, "Hey, dudes, it's Alex Hedges, again for your question of the week. For me, there are three sleeper hits for this year so far. Yakuza 4, generally awesome with amazing storytelling and characters and gameplay. Xenoblade Chronicles, Sure, it looks like a PS2 game on the Wii, but the world itself is huge and truly feels alive. Couple that with the game, a game that gives you an Aeris dies moment 2 hours in and keeps the story at that level. Wow. And you've got the best Wii game, period. Oh, wow. Okay, so this one right next to the name, he says bonus points for saying it right. Okay. So here we go. Artonlico Koga Nell of Arciel. Yeah, I didn't get the bonus points on that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you totally threw those out the window.
Pretty sure I did. not the prettiest game, but easily one of the most original JRPGs out there. Okay, that's all for now, dudes. Peace out. Hedges.
Thanks, Hedges.
Thank you, Hedges. Yakuza 4, I know... Yakuza 4, I know that when we were at E3 last year, Jason was loving it. He played it, and you know, I think we put up a video and he was enjoying it a lot. So I haven't played it, but I did not enjoy Yakuza 3 all that much, but I heard Yakuza 4 is better. So yeah. And I know Xenoblade Chronicles is one that people have been trying to get over to the US for a while, so it's with all that what were the other ones?
The one you couldn't pronounce.
No. What were the other ones that Nintendo didn't want to bring over? What was it? The Last Story, and there was one other one.
Yeah, the Last Story was the.
Where they basically said we don't want to bring these over because there's not enough interest in them.
Yeah.
That one? I thought that was like Mega Man, when they were like, we don't want to continue Mega Man because people aren't interested in it.
No. There were three RPGs, and Xenoblade Chronicles was one of them. Xenoblade Chronicles, Last Story, and there was one other one. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, let's move to our next one. This one's from Xanthan Gunn on Retroids. He says, hey guys, been listening to your show for a while, but first time emailing in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My thoughts on the question of the week, Sleeper Hits of 2011. First game I'm going to mention is Spider-Man Edge of Time. What I've seen of this game so far is looking great. And if Beenox, is that it? Beenox?
Yeah.
Can build on what it's done with Shattered Dimensions, this new title will surprise a lot of people. The cause and effect gameplay could be interesting if it's not overdone. I'm also going to mention Payday the Heist, which... I think is the free game on PSN Play, right?
Yeah. That's the first person shooter.
That is Left 4 Dead for PlayStation.
Really?
Yeah, that it's a 4-player co-op. It's missions are set up at random. Basically, the objective is to go in, steal money from a bank, and there's a lot of variables of what can happen, how it can happen, like how many enemies. And
interesting. It's
Left 4 Dead with banks.
The kind of like, what do they call the AI in Left 4 Dead?
I don't know.
Oh, the director, the AI director?
Yeah, the AI director, or whatever, same kind of thing. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
He goes on to talk about it a little bit. Now, this has gotten a bit more coverage since being included in the PSN Play deal, but even still, it seems like flying under a lot of people's radars. If it's even half as fun as the Cop and Robbers multiplayer of Kane and Lynch, without all the bugs in the game.
I heard that's pretty fun.
It has the potential to be a great experience on the PSN. Anyways, guys, keep up the good work. And well done on Bowerade. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And that is from Michael, a.k.a. Xanthan Gunn on Retroids.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Spider-Man, and this is another series that is seems to have a different entry every year.
It seems to be on again, off again kind of thing. Yeah, too.
I have a buddy at work that is hooked on Spider-Man games, dude. He gets all of them.
Okay.
And he said that Shattered Dimensions was fantastic. So
really,
yeah,
that's one I miss. I played the one before that, something of Shadows,
Web of Shadows. Yeah, that one was supposed to be pretty good too.
But I thought it was pretty decent. It wasn't like the best polished game or anything. It wasn't like it was kind of monotonous. It wasn't the best paced game, but it was fun.
Yeah, he
this
did.
One looks
he
like
loved...
a God of War type game, actually, to be honest.
Huh? But interesting.
The combat, anyway.
Cool. We got two more emails, but let's play this voicemail first. What do you think?
All right, yeah, go for it.
Let's
I like
do
voicemails.
It.
Guy, that's me. So you want to know what my sleeper hit of...
That voice sounds familiar.
The volume
like
sound okay?
Douche. Yeah, volume was fine.
All right, cool. But I'm just going to come right back in with the voicemail.
What's up, Indus? It's Alex, or Al. Alfighter 27, that guy.
That guy.
Elf.
Me.
It's Elf.
So you want to know what my sleeper hit of 2011
is? Yeah, I guess so.
There are probably a couple out there that I could name.
You're too young to know what a sleeper hit is.
Planet 2, since I didn't get a lot of attention. It's a really great game, though. Another would probably be Might and Magic Clash of Heroes HD.
Ooh,
I don't know if any of you guys played this, but it's addictive. As nobody's business.
It's like crack.
Honestly, I played for about 30 hours.
Wow, dude!
With 2 15-hour sessions.
What? Holy crap, dude!
It's got awesome multiplayer too. Really competitive. Really fun.
Oh,
really
to be 18
really
and play video games
too.
All day.
it's definitely a big time sink. One game that is definitely going to make my list this year, but it's not from this year, is probably Valkyria Chronicles.
Hell yes!
I know Chris loves it. I played the first on the PS3 this past year, and such a good game. It's challenging, it's fun, it's different. That's probably the biggest thing, it's different. I still have to pick up Valkyria Chronicles 2 on the PSP, get on that. Well, with that, I guess I'll see you bitches at Innisfest.
Hell yeah, dude!
Get hyped.
It's fast. Not even a subtle jab at Aces.
Did he know Aces was going to be on the show?
Oh, yeah.
He knows.
Okay. What was the first game he said? I missed it.
Little Big Planet 2.
Ooh. Is that a sleeper?
I wouldn't say, well...
I mean, it was
I think
it was
it's
at
a
the
sleeper in terms
year.
Of, like, it was a huge drop-off. I'd like to see, like, what the drop was from Little Big Planet 1 to 2. I don't know if 2 did better. But...
And I don't think it did. I think 1 did better. But the funny thing is that 2 is such a better game.
It's a way better game.
Yeah.
It's a way better game.
And I loved Part 1, and I haven't even bought Part 2 yet.
Really?
Yeah.
I bought it and sold it already.
Oh, did you really?
Only because, literally, I played it for the first couple days.
Should ship that shit to me,
this
dude.
Is awesome. I should have. If I knew, man, I would have sent it over to you. And I was like, because I actually did like it, but we all know my history with Little Big Planet. And my problem isn't with the actual game itself. It's
the physics. The game. You don't like the physics.
Yeah, exactly. I just do not like platforms. By the way, even though they did add a lot of stuff to the game that I thought improved the way I felt about it and the way that it actually mechanically works, like the swing and the jumping did feel tighter, but I don't know if I guess it kind of would be, I, you know what, I that just shows you how Little Big Planet, I think, isn't that big of a franchise, because it can, number two could potentially still be a sleeper, because I really don't think, when you think of like the top, I would even say
top
eight,
10 games, yeah,
or even 10 on PlayStation 3, I don't think a lot of people would name Little Big Planet.
And I think it kind of falls off to the wayside because it came out so early in the year.
Yeah, it was like January or something.
Yeah,
like
something I think it was. But yeah, that's a good one. Clash of Heroes is an awesome, awesome choice.
Man,
I really wish I could play that game. I really do.
Oh, that's right. You just can't because the color blindness.
Yeah. And it's really not as much of an issue with that game, but it would still cause me problems and frustration. So I've actually avoided it, but I am still looking for the DS one at a good price.
Dude, if I find it for you, I'll pick it up for you and ship it over to you. I'll bring it in a couple weeks when I see you. But I see it quite often for a pretty good price. So
yeah, cool.
I'll grab that for you.
I think he had one more, but I don't remember what it was.
He had, we knew it before this, before we rewound the first time, but, oh God. I can't remember now.
Oh, we suck.
Yeah, we're terrible.
It'll come to us. Let's go to the next email.
All right.
Next email comes from Jeff, a.k.a. Better Tomorrow. Guys,
tomorrow.
I think my sleeper hit of this year may have already been released. That's okay.
Oh, no.
That's okay.
That's fine.
And it's in the form of Deus Ex Human Revolution. Now, I was a bit reluctant to pick this because it is a sequel of a long-running and established franchise. But on the other hand, it may have sold well, but I think the quality of the game speaks volumes for its current and future success. I think it's going to be one of those games that as word continues to spread about how great it is, more people will be buying it and loving it, telling more people who will then go out and purchase it, tell more people, et cetera, et cetera. How many people have you heard say Deus Ex wasn't even on their radar? I'm raising my hand right now.
And
they weren't really interested.
Well, Travis called this shit like a month or two ago.
He did.
A month and a half ago.
Yeah, he did. I have been hearing that from a lot of people who, if the game wasn't as good as it was, probably would have never played it. I know myself personally never have had much interest and didn't really pay much attention until it was pretty close to its release. I did get it on release, but to be honest, I was desperate for a new game to play. And I honestly say I wasn't expecting it to be so bloody amazing. I may have cheated out a bit picking an already released game. No, you didn't. That's fine.
Totally allowed.
So if we were looking at just upcoming releases, and I would be picking, I think upcoming sleeper hit would be maybe Rage. Not sure if that will have the same impact as Borderlands or a Fallout 3. But I have pretty high hopes. And he says, thanks in Duders plus Aces. Ordinary, regular, yes. Colon, right, bracket, smiley face.
Dude loves me.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm gonna say this. I was gonna say Deus Ex 2.
I was going to as well. And I mean, we have to give props to Travis, because Travis said like a long time. He's like, you know what? I think this is a game that's gonna come up. Like, no one's really, because that's like a huge, like, people love Deus Ex 1, Invisible War, meh, and then this one is like, it wasn't really hyped up much. Like,
no,
if you weren't like a hard game, if you weren't following all the sites and stuff, you probably didn't know really what it was and whatever, and like what that was even coming out. And the fact that it launched, not only are the Deus Ex fans loving it, a lot of new people who've never played Deus Ex, like, hand up in the air right here, I love the fucking game.
Yeah, same here.
So I would, yeah, it totally qualifies. That was one of my picks too. That was actually my number one pick, to be honest.
And yeah, same here.
But yeah,
same here. And you know, I mean, it's exactly like what he said. I mean, it was not on my radar at all. As a matter of fact, when we went to E3, we had an appointment with Square to see the game, and it interfered with Rock Band 3.
And we went to
Rock Band 3. So yeah, it was a little weird, because I had to actually go up to the PR person and say, yeah, we can't actually take that spot. So, it was a little weird, but, yeah, so definitely, I'm with you on the Deus Ex entry. What about Rage?
Rage is really hyped. I mean, it's fucking id's next big thing since Doom 3, really. Yeah. So, I wouldn't really count Quake 4 with that. I don't even know if that was actually id, but.
No, that was Raven, but there's no way that Rage is going to be a sleeper hit. I mean, it might be a personal sleeper hit.
Yeah. But I mean, that's on a lot of people's radar. That's like being like up in this shit.
Yeah.
For real. Looks awesome, though.
Yeah.
But okay. I can see where he's coming from, though. I think that's kind of got the same kind of Deus Ex feel, where it's like, it's an established company that hasn't put out something really, really good in years, but I think it's been too long that people just aren't getting hyped up for it, but it's still like right in the spotlight. Like, looks really awesome.
Yeah.
But, who knows?
I mean, I'm hearing a lot.
Still give it that. It's still kind of a sleeper, I think. Why not?
Okay.
Who knows?
Last email comes from Mike PSN08. He says, "Hello, Indus.
Hello.
I do hope after last week's contest entry, I promised you."
I've had like 13 showers after that. I still feel kind of grungy.
I promise to Chris, this question of the week will not be as disturbing. But long, as usual, and it is pretty long on my big widescreen monitor. It takes up like, it's a fucking novel. Anyway, so bear with me, because I'm going to trip over myself. Okay, to the rest of the Indus crew, yo, 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 here we go, go, go. Like the Packers tonight, I have three sleeper games that to me are under the radar for a possible game of the fucking year. First one that came out in January, called Little Big Planet 2. So that's two people that said that.
With that's official, right?
I think so. I think that makes it official.
That'd be official, yeah.
Or as my friends call it, Little Big Head. This is a game that that one makes it much easier to make games and levels that you want to put out there for the community. Also, they added way more tools to create what you like, and I have seen some amazing levels. I've seen crap too, and the story campaign is a bit weak this time around, but I feel all the neat online things that you can do is still worth the price of admission. I still need to make an Indus Fest level soon. Oh, that'd be cool. And figure out how to get that moose in the game. All right.
That won't be hard.
Moo. Sorry. I felt that was appropriate at the time. I don't know why.
It totally was.
Next of I know it, it was out before on PS before the PSN. What? Next off, I know it was out before the PSN got it. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But Hardcore Uprising. Hardcore Uprising is so good in so many ways. I liked that they added an arcade and a story mode to the game. I find it myself trying to beat the game on normal and hard mode and getting my money to buy items and upgrade the characters in the game. At first, I didn't think of this game. I didn't think of this game, but after playing it the first time around, I got hooked and I'm glad I bought it. It might be the best Contra game out there. But to me, it is well worth the money, and Konami did a great job. Except the voices on the enemies are annoying at times. They also could have included the Sega Genesis Hardcore game on this. To this, that's a good one. Okay, we'll come back to that after I finish the email. Sorry. Last but not least, the game I will say surprised me on the PSN, and that is Back to the Future. Man, this game is so good and well worth the money you pay for it. The story, I believe, takes place in after the movie trilogy and goes on from there. The voice acting is superb, and the last chapter, I see Michael J. Fox makes a cameo shot in the game briefly. Oh, I didn't know that. The point-and-click gameplay is like Sam and Max Adventure-style gameplay, which works out great here. I need to finish this game up soon. I like it is also a game you can play in short bursts, too. If you'd like to just play part of the game for a short time, Telltale needs to make a Miami Vice game, or work with George Lucas on continuing the Star Wars story. Wow, that would be interesting. Well, those are my sleeper hits, and they might not get game of the fucking year, but they will be close. Mike game GOTFY PSN08. Shino, I was wondering if I won a contest, how long I would have to wait for my prize. I kid. Blah, blah, blah. He's talking about the fact that I said that I would send him something. And
Yeah.
You know, nagging is not helping you very much, PSN. Seriously. Indus Fest for Life.
What up?
All right. So, Hardcore. That's a good entry. When did the 361 come out? Was that this year or last year?
It was this year, early this year.
Yeah. Okay. I thought so. I think that's a very good entry, especially for like a downloadable game of the year. Because I had a fucking blast with that game.
Yeah. It was good.
It was. And Back to the Future, I haven't played through it, but it's fun.
I haven't played any of them. Yeah. I heard they're really good, though. I heard they're pretty humorous. They tickle the humor bone.
We did play it on IndieStream for one day. I know that. But, hey, what do you guys... what about you guys? What do you guys think will land sleeper hits this year?
Oh, besides Deus Ex, I have one that I think is going to kind of not so much on people's radar, and that's Saints Row 3.
That's a good one.
I think that's going to...
That is a good one, dude.
Because two disappeared. Like, one was a sleeper hit of when that year came out, but that was a year where the Xbox 360 was like, it was kind of new, and it needed a good like original IP to kind of like get it going. It was like the closest thing to GTA at the time.
Right.
It was really awesome, really fun. 2 did well, but it came out in the midst of like a bunch of other good games. And I think 3 is bringing it to that like next level, that total like just batshit insane.
Yeah,
crazy.
Just totally over the top stuff that you can do in that game.
And I think that game's gonna critically do really well. And I think also commercial, I think it's gonna do pretty decent. But I think it's like, I don't think it's on anyone's radar right now besides people that like. Like enjoyed the first two games or one of the other two games,
or saw one of the 7-minute videos that talked about all the shit.
Yeah, exactly,
because that's the only reason it's on my radar, dude.
Octopuses on people's faces, then detonating them whenever you want to—that is just awesome,
dude. Nothing beats the human cannon. Car.
Oh yeah, God, yeah.
That thing was
you just
awesome.
Like run up and suck people up.
Yeah, and then you shoot them out of a fucking cannon. That shit's awesome. Cool. You have any others?
No, that's like that. Well, I can list off stuff that I think maybe has a good chance. I think that in my mind, I think that's one that has a legitimate chance of being a sleeper hit.
All right, Aces, what about you, buddy?
I would have called Dead Rising, or not Dead Rising,
Dead Island.
Dead Island.
Dead Island. And what Jeff? I mentioned it to you earlier. I can't recall the name of it now. Garcia Hotspur?
Garcia Hotspur.
Shadow of the Damned.
Yeah, Shadow of the Damned. Shadow of the Damned.
That's a good one, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one called that. That game was great and sold about 40,000 units.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty, isn't it?
That is kind of shitty, but from some of the other people I've talked to, their whole mentality is, it's a rental. But it's kind of shitty. I think Dead Island's gonna sell a lot of copies when MPD numbers come out.
Well, apparently it's sold out like a lot of places. Like it's selling really well.
Oh, really?
But just from like, you know, anecdotally speaking, like a lot of people I speak to, like GameStops and stuff like that, and Better Tomorrow said he was looking for it. He said it was sold out at all the stores around his area and stuff like that. So I think it's doing a lot better than people think.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's doing all right. Who are you, Chris?
Well, the first one I'm going to say, and people might not think it's too much of a sleeper just because of how much coverage we've done on it, but Bastion, dude. Bastion was not on my radar at all.
That's a good pick, dude. Yeah, that wasn't on mine either.
And it seriously came out of nowhere. Yeah, I mean, we got that interview, and all of a sudden we were excited about it, and you know, it's like we couldn't give that game enough coverage. You know, it was just. I think it turned out to actually
be a good game too.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, really I think it was. It's funny too because I mean, if you guys haven't read the review, Chance did a great review of it up on the site, mm-hmm. and he gave it a 5 out of 5. And one of the things that he did, we have an email thread going through back and forth so that we can talk about the reviews that we're doing. And one of the things that he emailed about was like, guys, I'm really having trouble doing big downs. Because we have like a big ups and a big downs on the reviews, and you know we're all sitting there thinking about it, and the you know I the only one that I came up with was that you can't customize your controls. So his big downs is like it literally says I can't think of any, and he says, and then it says Chris says you can't customize controls, and that's it. I mean, this game is just phenomenal at how well they did on this game. For their first game, I mean, Supergiant knocked it out of the park. So.
I'd agree with that for sure.
That's my big one, though. That, Deus Ex, I don't really have any others. I mean, most of the other games that I'm looking forward to is, like, big names now. I'm looking forward to Uncharted and, you know, things like that. But I'll say this. I think you'll see Space Marine pop up here and there.
I think so. That might happen.
That demo was really fun. I think you'll see the Shadow of the Colossus collection sell more than you'd expect, considering how poorly the other two sold on the PS2.
Oh God, there's so much excitement behind those two with all the talk about. What's it called? The new one that they're doing?
Last Guardian.
Last Guardian. Thank you. Yeah, I mean it's got so much more hype.
I wouldn't call Last Guardian a sleeper hit.
Really. No. But I think his point is that you know, considering that the two games when they were originally released did not sell well, all the hype behind Last Guardian is definitely going to help the collection when it comes out later this month. Any others that you guys want to mention?
Not that I can think of off the cuff now.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I got nothing. Everything else that's coming out this year is all big name titles.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's move on to new releases then. What do you guys say?
I like releases that are new.
I do too. I like this release. PS3, God of War Origins Collection.
That is cool.
I have not
played Ghost of Sparta yet.
I only played it a little bit. I actually haven't gotten back into it yet. NHL 12, White Knight 2, Penguins of Madagascar, Dr. Blowhole Returns. Wow, that's awesome. That's something special right there.
You're going to go play cornhole with their buddies.
360 is getting NHL 12, The Gunstringer, Penguins of Madagascar, and Nicktoons MLB. Wii is getting a Bit Trip Complete, Nicktoons MLB, and Penguins of Madagascar. 3DS is getting, wrong week. Thor, God of Thunder. Really? Why is it getting it now? That's not right. That already came out, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Probably.
I thought it did. Anyway.
Epic fail.
Way to go, GameSpot. Bit Trip Saga.
I was gonna say, way to go, Chris. But Bandcamp's how it works too.
Bit Trip Saga, Dega Sports Extreme Arcade 3D, because that's descriptive. Balloon Pop 2, awesome, and Puzzler Mind Gym 3D. And PSP is getting a few downloadable games that are not interesting at all. So, pick of the week.
I'll do it. White Knight Chronicles 2, especially if you did not play the first one, because the first one is on that disc.
That is true. Yeah. Of course, I'm going with God of War Collection, Origins Collection.
I'm going to second God of War Collection, for sure.
I've been in an RPG mood.
All right, cool.
A bad RPG mood?
Chris liked it.
A bad RPG mood? No?
It was better than Final Fantasy 13. Just saying.
But that's, like, it falls in the same category, though.
That's true.
I don't know. Hopefully with the updates to combat,
I am hearing that this one is a lot better. So I'm just not getting it right away. I'm going to get it.
They can only move up, though, really.
Yeah, this is true for the most part.
Just kidding. I played, like, they had a demo for it, right?
Did they?
Way back in the day. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they did. I'm getting it mixed up with some other game.
In reality, where the game excelled was in multiplayer.
Multiplayer, of course, yeah. True that.
Okay, cool. Let's move on to some, I would say emails, but we don't have emails. I do have two voicemails, though.
Oh, well, push play.
Oh, God, this is not a game. Bye. I think that's a word. Interested into a game, you know, like, for me, for example, if someone was like to say, like, hey, this game's come out, it's pretty cool. I'm like, cool, yeah, sure. Games are cool, not really my style.
If you say epic, I'm
like,
smack
well,
you.
It's like, you know, it's quirky. Quirky? And you're like, boom! I get like, that interests me. You say quirky, I like it. I'm more than likely to like it, or at least I'll try it out. So when I hear quirky, I can see, like, maybe it's not the best controls, or it's just not, like, just, it wouldn't be, like, a AAA game, but, like, you know, it'll make you laugh, you'll enjoy it, it'll put a smile to your face, you'll be like, what the fuck, like, most of the time, but, you know, I would generally like it, and my word is quirky. So what is, like, the one word will let someone have to describe a game to you, for you to be like, yeah, I'm interested, yeah, so, yeah. Do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
Mine's not one word.
Yeah.
Mine's
it's easier to do in phrases.
Yeah. If somebody says to me the game is very well, like, well paced, that's usually what gets me really interested. Because to me, that is, it's not going to be repetitive for too long. It's introducing new game mechanics right when I should be getting bored with the game, or not getting bored, thinking like I need to be doing something new, and it introduces something new. That's what really gets, like, you mentioned. Someone says, have you played this game? No. Oh, man, you really got to play this game. It's good. It's whatever. Quirky. It's cool. It's new. It's awesome. It's very well-paced. And that's, I'm like, ooh, really? Because that's to keep my attention now to play a game from beginning to end, it's got to be well-paced. If not, I tend to lose interest.
Lose interest,
quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say it's an actual one word, like, that would just be descriptive, per se, but...
I think well-paced is valid.
Okay.
I think that's valid. That sounds good. All right. Aces, what do you think?
I would go with
boobs.
Besides that.
Yeah, boobs. games that are could be described as doing their own thing, kind of like Deadly Premonition, where it knows it's not going to be super popular, but it's doing its own thing for the sake of doing it. So it's same vein as quirky, like Navashin said. I would get, yeah.
Okay, so you're going with quirky. Going with, like, not in the norm.
Yeah, kind of something definitely. Like if anyone played Deadly Premonition, that game is not in the norm, but it is so charming.
True.
Oh, charming! There you go. Charming.
Charming's a good one.
There's a word.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take it. I'm not gonna piggyback on that.
Charming sounds good.
Charming. There you go.
Let's see.
Chris. Castlevania.
You know, I actually thought about saying that. No shit, dude. I thought about saying that. No,
it's like Castlevania.
One of the things I was going to say was just, you know, there are so many things. It's like everything out there has been done, it seems. But if someone can come out to me and tell me that a game is truly unique, then I'm interested. You know, it's like if they can say, if someone comes up to me and I say, what kind of game is this? Like, what is it like? And they say, you know, I really can't think of anything. You know, if it's truly a unique game, that'll get me interested. And I don't really know how to do it in one word, but kind of like what Asus said. If a game is just making fun of itself, it's like it's doing things on purpose to make fun. Yeah, it's kind of self-aware and it's making fun of yourself. I like that shit. I don't know why, but I really like that shit.
No, what do you mean you don't know what that's like? I think a lot of people like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Games like self-aware. It's like it knows it's a terrible game, but like, it's like voice acting is terrible. It's terrible, but it knows that. That's cool. As long as the gameplay doesn't suffer. This is the big thing. It's like you can be self-aware and still be a shitty game.
Yeah,
if you're
that's
a decent
true.
Game but self-aware, that's totally different.
Right.
Like it'd be like I remember when like we're talking about Comic Jumper. They're self-aware that the game is repetitive and that crazy shit happens, but the game is still repetitive.
Right.
It's like they're not making fun of it for a second, but like, okay, we're going to change it up now. No,
yeah, the fact that they're making fun of themselves is it lets you suffer through it.
Yeah, yeah. You laugh one time, you're like, ah, cool. It's the main fight. So they realize it's actually getting boring, so now change it up. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, not cool.
Yeah, I'm with you. Cool. All right, I got one more voicemail. And here we go.
What's going on, this? What is really good?
Hey.
Good. This is Eddie Kusanagi.
Eddie Kusanagi.
Holy fucking shit.
Seeing what's going on.
Pauses.
It's been a
long time. Are
you
fucking kidding me?
Yeah, dude.
Keep going. That Eddie?
Eddie.
Dude, it's been like 9 months
it's
or something.
It's been something like that. It's been, well, he said it's 8. I kind of listened to a little bit of the voicemail before he started, but
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Play on. Blowing my mind.
Dude's hardcore, man. Dude's hardcore. Ready?
Blowing my mind.
I am currently halfway across the world making a change in life. Somewhere in the Middle East. I've been here for about 8 months, but I still listen to you guys and I don't stop. Never stop.
Oh, wow.
I love you guys.
Very cool.
You're the man, dude.
No question, man. Just checking on us. This has been a while, but I thought I'd just send in a voicemail. Making some changes. Still playing my video games, playing all the current games.
Hope you're still keeping track.
What else is there? Ain't not much, man. Just called to say I love you guys, and you know what am I doing? Halfway across the world from home. Just trying to lose some weight. That's all. So far, I've lost 189 pounds.
God damn, dude.
So, yeah, I'd like to give a big fuck you to the Biggest Loser. Yeah, you guys suck. I did what you guys do, I don't know, what is it, a year or 10 months? In like 6 months to 7 months, and probably double the weight. And I don't need two fucking men screaming in my face. That's right, I said men. What's that bitch's face? Julian? Julianne? Whatever the fuck her name is. Screaming in your face, she a man, yo, she a dick, you know what I'm saying? She, yeah, something's wrong with her, she a man, screaming in people's faces, making, you know, those big people cry and shit, getting them all emotional. I mean, that's sad, man.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I'm gonna send them a letter, a Dear X, if you must.
Oh, yes.
If you may, and I'm gonna send them a letter saying, you know, you know, I did what you promote, a multi-million dollar show. I did it on my own, just drinking water and starving myself to death.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need two dudes screaming on my face on a treadmill forcing me to do shit. You know what I'm saying? I just did 188 pounds. I just got like 20, 30 pounds to go and I'm good. So that about wraps it up. Just called to say I love you guys, man. I still listen to you, man.
That's very cool, Eddie.
Hope you guys, I wish the best. Shout outs to, what is it, Retroids there, Retroids.com. Shout outs to everybody on PSN that are still out there, you know what I'm saying? Yep, shout out to the USA and all the, well, I was a formal fat person myself, but, you know, I don't know, man. Just keep the show up, and see you soon. Be well.
Awesome, wow.
Dude, Eddie, huge props, dude. I mean, we knew... He mentioned a while back that he was going to do this.
Yep.
And but fucking 189 pounds, dude.
That is a lot.
That is a lot.
That's like a person and then some. That's like
yeah.
Wow.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Congratulations, brother. No matter what happens, dude. you have already done an amazing thing, and and you know we are 100% behind you. Way to go.
Fuck yeah.
Just be healthy, man. Don't starve yourself to death. Just, you know, be healthy. Just eat right. That's what it's about.
I'm sure he's doing all right.
So, but I
keep up your Street Fighter shit. If you come back and I can be in Street Fighter, something's wrong. Then you did something wrong.
Cool. Well, that is all I have.
Dude.
Yeah, that is very awesome. And thank
you very much for the
voicemail.
Yeah, thanks for writing in or calling in, actually, because you haven't heard from me in forever.
Yeah, and you know what? So. When you write that letter, send it to us, too, because I'll read that shit for a Dear X. No doubt. No doubt. I'll read that shit for a Dear X.
Awesome.
All right, cool. Let's do question of the week, then.
All right, let's go for it.
Is it bad that we're picking on Nintendo all the time right now? Is that bad?
No, not really.
Wow.
I mean, it's not really Nintendo. It's like it's a topical situation where Mr. Knapp caught on to, which we'll give him props to, and we're like, all right, well, this is going to be one.
Well,
good
kinda,
for him for predicting our shit.
We have in the past.
Are we getting that predictable?
We are. we have in the past, and Mr. Knapp did call us out on this. We have in the past talked about games that are released.
We do talk about games. That
incomplete.
Are Oh, yeah.
And Jeff, and we've talked about Jeff being a smartass and fucking Moose. We've talked about games being released incomplete and then being patched later and how it's kind of something that we've gotten used to now. Is the same thing going to happen with consoles now? I mean, is it okay to patch a console? Kind of like, you know, and you know. It's topical because it's happening with the 3DS, but the 3DS isn't the only one who's done it. You know,
no.
Go back and check some shit. You know, go back and look at what's happened in the past. It's happened before, so that's question of the week.
It's kind of like I don't want to phrase like how early is too early to. Oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm watching the news right now, and coming up, Drunken Moose was literally the caption. And they showed a moose caught in a tree. Aces, when you come out of the closet, I'm going to rewind the PVR and you'll see this. It is hilarious. Sorry. I need to, out of context, quote. We're going to take a picture of this and we're going to need to put it in the show notes. I'm going to email it to you, Chris, or like text message it to you. It is awesome. It's perfect timing.
It's awesome.
But yeah, that is fucking awesome. I'm totally rewinding that shit and putting it on there. It's great. But anyway, every console does some kind of revision at some point or whatever, but Nintendo has done, I mean, the price drop early, they're adding in new hardware shit early, like peripherals, but, you know, come on now. Is that cool? Not cool.
Yeah, we want to hear, acceptable. I mean, this is something that we just want to hear your opinions on more than anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's this, we may or may not get a hardware revision that includes a second stick. So I don't want to put it specifically to that, but just in changes to hardware in general, like people like patching, literally patching hardware. And is that okay? And what, I mean, at what point do we say it's not? So, send your answers to the question of the week to email at interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337. If you are...
It's like neat lead, but it's not. Way to go, Aces. Jesus Christ,
I thought you were going to say the first
part.
No,
the guest always says that shit, man. Come on.
Dude, you're fired.
Whoever's pretending to be Travis on the show does it.
Yes.
Except for last week, because Jason
didn't
want to do it.
I don't want to be Travis.
I don't want to be Travis right now either, because the Saints just lost.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I'm taller and sexier than Travis is, so why would I want to be Travis?
You do show off that ass of yours in those tight pants, man.
Yeah, right.
Skinny jeans for days, son.
For days, son. You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are... Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
And Aces, yours is?
Aces High, 291.
291. I always forget the number at the end.
I know. I've heard.
Yeah.
Numbers confuse
yeah.
people.
I'm bad at numbers, apparently, even though I was good at math. we have a Facebook group that is pretty active right now. Check us out, Interactive Distractions Podcast.
I'm watching the Drunken Moose.
You need to send that to me, dude.
Oh,
you
I'm
do,
going
you
to. I'm
to.
Taking a picture of this TV screen, and oh my God.
You can also check us out at retroids.com. We have our forums housed there. So come by, stop by, make a comment on the show, and tell us what's
come
up.
Come by, stop by.
Come
drive
by, stop by, drive by.
Walk by, run by.
So don't drive by. Those are dangerous.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
But that's all I've got.
Yes. Never mind. No, you can go there.
You guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
I think we're good.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'm good. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on
Miss
iTunes
you,
or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. Three times in a row. Miss you, Travis. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Joe. And I'm Jeff.
That has to stay.
Oh, that's staying, dude. That's not leaving.
You're like, Joe, hold on. Let me get it. Travis, I love you too. I had to be on the Love Travis train.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy. All right, Jeff, let's go play some Street Fighter.
Oh, shit. Did I just say that?